You are listening to selfdiscoveryradio.com with an orchard of wisdom just ready for your picking, filled with illuminating, inspiring stories. Do check out the community and the discovery stores. We are here for you. Our next show is... Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our show, Channeling Ascension. I am your host, Sarah Troy, along with Christina Hill and our spiritual guest, Othella. And our guest today is Karina Holt. She is the attunement to love guru, poetry artist, ascender of her own. And today we're going to help you understand the ascension to love. Why is that so important? Well, you can't have peace in the world, you can't have tranquility, you can't have equilibrium until you step into love. When you do step into love, you truly understand what it's all about. You really have a look at hate and fear and everything for what it is, a reaction to something unknown, a reaction to fear itself. Love is something that will set you free. I know it's corny. All the songs tell us so. It's about time we started listening, because love really does answer it all. So, Christina and Othella, the little snippets of information here today is that as we become more present in our own life, you begin to naturally exude and emanate that which is already yours. It is you, in fact. You can guess what it is. Up is that ineffable, indestructible, all-pervading, cosmic, divine, one love. Cosmically, divinity and connection with love vibration are unwavering, unfailing, and here for us. But how often do we feel these truths at the level of our mind bodies? And Karina, being the poet that she is, her little input here today is on the spiritual journey. We can feel like three straps forward and two steps back, three steps forward, three steps back. Mentally, we own the core principles, and yet some days we simply don't feel them when we get hooked by frustration and all things that seem grossly unjust. For such days, I found myself asking, so where's the love now, huh? Well, we know how divinity works, right? Ask a question and you get an answer. Mine comes through verses, of which I have shared the poem here of love. I'm going to just share her poem here. In your quiet moments, return to center. This opens the channel that you remember. There is nowhere love is not, always speaking through every receptor you've got. With nowhere to find love's evidence, turn your eyes in, look within your own residence. This gentle but powerful reminder has helped me remember the power of the Divine One and the inner glance and the deep breath away. As I write this, I bear beautiful bells, hear beautiful bells drawing attention to the key word, remember. And that was by Karina. So this is what you're going to expect to hear today, ladies. Some beautiful, illuminating, and divine inspiration. And gentlemen, of course, I'm not missing anybody out here. But we are on this beautiful ascending journey, and we want to help you step into love, because truly and utterly it is the answer. So welcome to the show, Christina, Othella, and Karina.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Corinne, for joining us. Such a blissful, powerful poem. I have to say, it takes you right into love. It's just right there. As you were reading it out, Sarah, I felt myself filled with love.
Right. And of course, you know, we know that we as human beings like to complicate things. And we, you know, we do look for love in all the wrong places. We think we can purchase it. And really, it is an inside job. And it's only when you are still, you're all quiet, when you remember the beautiful simplicity and gratitude of life, do we actually understand where that love stems? It is a glow within us, that divine connection, and it's begging to come out, begging to come out. So Christina and I co-host these shows every week, and we really enjoy doing it because we get such wonderful guests like Karina on. And yes. I had Karina on a few weeks ago, and definitely a woman who immerses herself in the process of attuning to love. So, Karina, why don't you just tell us a little bit more for the audience that haven't heard you before, a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So, very short synopsis is the first part of my career life was in the arts, and my degree and such as that, and was graphic designer. And then the second chapter, which went, well, that was about 18 years. And the second chapter, which was about 12, 13 years, was all about coaching and healing and the art of well-being. And then coming out of that chapter was, I was really guided to merge those worlds along with, you know, personal life experiences and just bring all that together for a new message. And that was really much, very much focused on remember. That's what the word was really coming to me today to share, is to remember. Remember all the parts of ourselves. Remember how they've served us, even our pain. Mm-hmm. And remember that we are not just this beautiful human being having a physical experience, but that we are the infinite intelligence, that we are an aspect and an expression of divinity. And this is a time for us to remember that deep relationship and partnership with our divinity. And so that's why all the art and the poetry, so the guidance was to bring visuals, color, light, movement, sound, music, and the poetry, and to create experience that is a vehicle for people to really connect with their hearts, even when they're distracted and stressed in their daily lives. That when you really immerse yourself in the art for just a few minutes, then it helps you bridge that gap between, you know, stress and where you want to be as more grounded and peaceful.
You know, there's something that you hit on here that is very, very relevant, is the chapters of our lives. We all have had many chapters. You know, Christina's had her own journey to her own divine purpose now. I've had mine. And we have to understand that our story is purely a page, a chapter. It's not the whole book of life. And that whatever we're going through at that time, it's all just part of something that's guiding us, that's teaching us. And don't get stuck in the drama of it, but understand what is the lesson of it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Christine, you want to comment on that?
And I'm listening with heart-centered space that's just opening, and the volume here I feel like is really being turned up. I feel like our listeners are going to appreciate this and feel this, because I want to say something to what you just mentioned, Sarah, and also you've touched upon, Corinne, the chapters. Yet they're not jackets that we wear, and that's a really good visual there. So we have the chapters of our lives, you know, and we have the experiences, but we don't have to wear them like a jacket. And I have been, you know, briefly, I've gone into my own experiences, my own chapters, quote unquote chapters, and that I'm a real advocate for taking off the jacket of these experiences and just letting yourself then glide. It's really like gliding into another chapter. That doesn't mean that we then erase what has happened. It simply means that we can acknowledge that it's past, and that was a chapter again, but that we can take those learnings, we can take that coloring and the wisdom and you know, the impressions that we get in our bodies, even, you know, those imprintings that we have from past, we can take those and we can use those to hoist us up, to actually ascend, but not carrying it around like a jacket of the story, because ego loves this. Ego loves the, this happened to me, therefore, dot, dot, dot. You know? And so I just really encourage people to really, you know, blissfully even, to take off any jacket. You may be wearing one right now, you know, as you're listening to this, and you know what they are. But you can take those off, recognizing that, you know, that you're freeing yourself from all that, the drama, and then move into what new chapters am I going to create now, you know? And dancing with that, as opposed to, you know, because the jackets, they get heavy. You know, we put on so many jackets, and before you know it,
yeah.
you're... Yeah. You're pretty laden with
The wardrobe is just bursting, you know. I've recently got rid of, I think, of 6 huge garbage bags of clothes and shoes and things like that and coats. And 4 of them went to a friend of mine for her and her daughter. And, oh, but this is so beautiful. Are you sure you want to get rid of it? Yes, it's had its story. You go and create a new story with it. And, you know, my clothes, it's not me giving her charity. It's now me giving her an opportunity to create a story with that wardrobe herself. And that's the whole point, isn't it? Is that we've had our story with a certain phase or certain thing in our life. It's now time for a new story. And in that, but that doesn't mean you can't pass on, because somebody else can get something, you know, something out of it. And it's, but just if you, as you said, if you keep putting on those coats, all of a sudden you can't walk anymore because you're so way down.
Right. Exactly. And letting go of, like, the trash bags that you were filling must have felt so good for you, Sarah.
I have got rid of so much, and it's feeling really good. Books for people to read that I finished reading, you know, and it is. It's just, you feel lighter. It is absolutely true.
Yeah. But, hallelujah.
Yeah. Well, but that's part of it in Corinne, is it's lightening our lives up.
It is, and I'm just smiling in ear to ear here with the jacket, because I'm writing about something very similar to that called Our Suit of Suffering. And you know, it's right in there. And
right.
So what I'm calling Our Suit of Suffering, I think it's probably similar to what Eckhart Tolle has called the pain body. Mm. And the thing that I what came to me, and again, it's through the poetry, you can hear the alliteration of the S's, was that to really, you know, take another perspective on that beautiful teaching that he shares, and that if we don't claim it as a body, which seems kind of more permanent, and we think of it as something that we can take off, just as you were saying, Christina, is, but not just mentally take it off, like, oh, let's get over it, you know. The teaching really is to go into that suit of suffering and extract the deeper meaning of what that pain is and why we have these patches of pain that are all stitched together with all of the narration and commentary about the mental response to that pain and suffering. And now, rather than just like toss it over and say, I don't like this, and I'm going to just kind of cast it aside and pretend it's not there, that's not going to work. That suit of suffering only really dissolves when we go into the threads of it and then extract out. And I did this for a year of writing a life review back in 2008, where I went into every painful thing that I didn't want to say out loud to anyone, that everything that I hid in those pockets of my suit of suffering, and brought it out into the light of day and say, okay, what true goodness came from that abandonment, let's say? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Because of that, I had to become self-reliant.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. And what did self-reliance do for my life? Right. So to get really honest, not just like, oh, let's think positive, you know, right. You know, let's like, you know, that violence, let's just think positive about it. No. No, acknowledge that was painful and that was awful, and you would never want to live through that again. But on the back side of this, what good did come from it? You know, what new level of awareness, or, you know, what did I do differently in my life? And how did I treat others better because of it? You know, there's always something truly, genuinely good that comes from these experiences. And when we acknowledge both the pain of it and the goodness authentically, then those patches of pain start to dissolve, and that suit starts to dissolve. And then we no longer carrying this body around, but this this temporary apparel that can go away. Mm-hmm. And because we actively invited it and welcomed it to be no more in our lives. Yeah.
Yes. They become the tools, they become the lessons, right? They become the instruments that we use in the next phase of our lives.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So true. Just breathing that in, just letting that waft through the air. The word ritual comes to mind as well. If someone listening to this is like, yep, yeah, I want to do, as Corinne has suggested, and really write that life review, invite these experiences, these pain-laden experiences that are really getting trapped in the body, you know, holding you stagnant, holding you hostage, however you want to see it, that you can't just push away, that you, on a superficial level even, you could do positive thinking all day long, but that it's still there, reoccurring, or is triggered by some other circumstance or person or event. Ritual comes to mind when I think of sitting down writing that life review. So someone listening to this, you may find it very useful to write these things out. You could also sit down with your phone and turn the recorder on and record your own voice going through, you know, and what it could be one small thing, it could be a giant thing, but going through both the pain that has been in your body that you felt with this experience, and also what was gained, what was behind that, what life was beckoning you to learn through this. You could light some candles, invite some friends over, and share this, like upholding sacred space for these particular pain body, you know, movements. I mean, there's so many different rituals that one could do. I've even heard of people writing something out, and when it's all full, complete, they've got, you know, all of that pain body-ness, let's call it that, down on paper. And then they go, and when they're ready, they have a final adieu. I mean, they burn it, or they, you know, they obliterate it, that it's a physical representation of, okay, now I have really done this, I've put this out, I've seen what I'm taking from this, the extraction that I'm taking from this, and I'm ready now to, you know, to release this. Mm-hmm. I think that is very, that's just not talked about a lot in our society,
no.
Doing these rituals, but I think it's so needed, and it especially if you have, you know, any kind of trauma, or even if you don't, any kind of resentment, anything that's in there that you could see as, you know, a jacket or the attire that you're holding and wearing and carrying around with you, as Eckhart Tolle says, you know, the pain body that rises up. And if we can just be with it, and you'll know if you have it because it'll come up in your experience. You'll feel it in your body.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a pretty obvious indicator that, you know what, something in me, I'm sensing something in me that feels like this. It's just that we get so caught up in our day-to-day, you know, and it gets, you know, very high-paced that we sometimes skip over these things. But if you can start to take one thing at a time and do a ritual around that and then releasing it, I think the dissolving, as Corinne beautifully said, is just the dissolving is an organic feature of that process. The dissolving of that attire happens. It does, if you are willing to allow it to rise up and you're willing to look at it head on, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've done all of the things that you talk about, kind of, you know, writing about it, not a book, but, you know, I kind of became a blogger, and it would be just let my fingers write and then see what was written. And it always surprises me what I read back, because that is my inner voice speaking, where sometimes my head gets in the way. You know, my own show, Sarah's View of Life, is very often where I just share and I let it just come out. Now, you know, I'm always, as you know, whatever the problem is, we always must seek what the solution is or what the lesson is from it. But we have to speak to that pain. And, you know, the other thing I used to do with my clients is have them write it out, all the pain and all the suffering. But then, as you said, Corinne, write out what you've learned from it, what you have become because of it, and then burn it and give it. I release my past, and I invite you to, this is the new me. I'm introducing myself to you as the new me. Please guide this new me and release my past. So I went for the whole thing about, you know, burning and inviting, writing, speaking, even up to the videoing, and talking in your mirror, because your mirror can't lie. You know, all of these things, and whatever which one turns you on, is just do one of them or all of them, right? Because,
right,
you know, you talked about the art of positive thinking. As one of my guests says, it's a hoax. On its own, this positive thinking affirmation and just sitting back and waiting for a cosmic Amazon to deliver it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Positive thinking is a state of mind that we wish to address something with in a way to deal with it. You know, I'm not going to address this negatively, poor me, my pain body. I'm going to look at this as, what has this pain given me? The courage, the strength, the knowledge, you know, the everything that I need in life to carry on. That's where the positivity comes out of it. And positivity is action, isn't it? We have to take action because we can't just sit back and wait. So, Corinne, what do you think to that?
Oh, yeah. So, tying what you both said together is the ritual, I think, is so important. And then what you were saying, Sarah, about really you're moving the energy, however you do that. Mm-hmm. So that the ritual is somehow, some way, whatever feels good to you to move that energy. So maybe it's writing it out on paper and burning it. You know, maybe it's speaking into a recorder and hearing the vibration of your voice. And, you know, what came to me as a bath, you know, you touch with these things and then you take maybe a salt bath or, you know, Epsom salt bath or something. And you just imagine, and the artist in me is coming out, visualizing the suit of suffering and whatever patch you're working on, because, you know, you can't do, back to what you were saying too, Kristen, you can't do the whole suit in one, one sitting, you know, come on. Let's be,
pocket, sleeve, lapel, bit by bit, folks.
Let's be gentle with ourselves, not try to take on too much all at once, and take one patch of that pain, and whatever the ritual feels appropriate, you know, do that, and have it be simple, and feel good, and all of that. And that is so much more effective than trying to slap a happy, positive face onto it. But, you know, back to the positive thinking. We understand the intention, which is good. But when we look at it from further down the path, because we've been doing this a while, haven't we?
Yes.
You know, I remember when I was starting with just try to think positive. And the good thing about that is a symptom of the realization when we're starting to wake up, and the mind realizes, my goodness, there has to be something better than this. Let's try to think positive. And so it's those early steps of the mind waking up, and it's trying to do something to contribute to this evolution, right?
Sure.
And so good for it, you know. But then we try that, and then we realize, there's some faultiness in that process. And we keep going. The more we have true, direct experience with divine, then we start to see the flaws in all of these exercises, because none of them are perfect. But each one serves us and takes us to the next, to the next, to the next, to the point at one point you don't need any of the practices anymore, but because they're all flawed, but they all have a benefit. So for someone thinking positive today, people say fake it till you make it. Sometimes that works in the moment. And it'll take you to that next thing that's even greater exercise. So, you know, while I am very genuine in my expression that thinking positive isn't really going to do it, it may take you to that next thing. And so I do honor it, but I don't practice it anymore, you know.
Right. Yeah.
You know, anymore. And so what are we really at now? We are really at keeping it simple and feeling, opening our hearts and really tuning in. Back to the suit. And now the next kind of thing that we can leap off together with is what the suit is, the repository of what we're hiding and don't want to deal with, because we've got to cope with stuff today.
Yes.
You know, we can't be blubbering and you know, going into the office, crying and breaking down, right? So for good intentions, we tuck this stuff away in our suit of suffering so that we can cope with the logistics of our day. Totally understandable, right? But we do that so much that then it becomes, you know, our concealed wreckage that we are, you know, we've locked the door on it and we forget that it's even there mentally. But emotionally, when we're feeling unstable and we don't know why, well, that's because there's hidden things there that we've put away, and now it's time to really bring out.
Yeah,
and
well,
so
it weighs us down, doesn't it? I mean,
yes,
everything about us starts slowing down. I actually would like to just look at the word positive and say we actually have a new word now, which I think is more in more encompassing of what we're looking for, is actually authentic. You know, being our authentic selves. And, you know, in authenticity is that allows us sometimes to be sad or to be mad, because that's our authentic reaction at the moment. But it's also being in truth of self. And, you know, positivity is a great approach to have in life, but we can't live in that all the time. It's kumbaya positivity, right? You know, it's not a realistic thing. But when you live in authenticity, is that you're going to react to life, you know, as empaths. My God, we feel the pain in the world. We're going to feel that suffering, and we have to work through it with love, you know, in that authentic love of self, authentic love of people and planet, to work through that. But it's being authentic, isn't it, in that truth of self.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. So much speaks to me of what both Corinne and Sarah, what you have just highlighted here. There's so much material and context to what we're discussing. And so I just think of the person who is living that, who's living that life where Corinne just described it beautifully, is off to the office and snip, snip, tuck, tuck, I got to cut this away, and I got to compartmentalize. There's another word.
Yes.
I got to manage this, and I'll do it over a cup of coffee, sit down at my desk, and then here we go, on to other things. I got to be productive. And there's, I'm not saying that's bad. There is, that's not good or bad. It just is, and that is a reality for a lot of people. That's a choice, too. That I think we can look at a deeper level, it does come back to something very simple. I think it's just awareness, getting ourselves really aware and connected to ourselves and to divine. I mean, this show is about that, is mm-hmm. connecting, attuning at a deeper level to love, and that's truly who we are. Since we're energetic beings, we are love, we are the energy. We can choose to create a life where we are aware of our feelings. And it's not that we are negating those feelings, that we are truly, as you say, Sarah, we're authentic. We're going to meet those feelings. And if we need to, you know, we could dangle them like a garland for a while. Okay, I've got a business meeting. I'm sensing something is rising up in me. I'm going to hold that. I'm going to return to it. Kind of like a self-promise, right? I'm going to return to this. I see this. And that you're aware of it. And then you come, you know, in your quiet moments. Corinne, you said that beautifully before about coming in quiet moments, giving ourselves the time to take a 5-minute breather, a 5-minute meditation, so that we may, in fact, just acknowledge something that has come up in our experience, something that's rising up, and getting really curious about what that is. You know, and I think it's developing the habit, really, the practice of doing that, as opposed to just, you know, skirting things under the rug and then going to the positive thinking modality, but rather getting to an authentic, clear space where we acknowledge how we feel in the moment. We're really there with it. And if we must, that we hang it kind of like a garland, kind of hanging it in our experience until we can address it, giving it our full attention. And something you said, Corinne, which I wanted to just chime in with too, is the bath, the idea of taking the bath with some salts, with some lavender or some herbs perhaps. That's just a luxury, and think of how simple that is. You know, how many people have bathtubs? We can do that, and it's just available to us, and we can gently, like as if we had a feather in our hand, we can gently touch upon, okay, this is something that I feel resentment, let's just say that. I feel resentment rising up in me. Today I felt resentment coming up towards my spouse, my coworker. We can touch that with a feather. We don't have to go into the whole thing, but we can touch it gently and then learn how to pull back from it, soak in our bath, you know, and that could be step one. You know, that's not being swallowed up by it.
Right.
That's touching it, that's acknowledging, and then it's self-care from there.
Well, there's two things I'm going to add to that. One, the beautiful thing is when you pull the plug, well, that misery can go down the drain, right? Oh. You know, it's not coming out with you. But the other thing is using things like, you know, example, Corrine's poems. You know, there is, like in a song or in a poem or in a book or in a movie, there's always a statement that we remember. And if we go into that still moment, is what is that statement that sums up where I am right now? What is that line from that poem, you know, from that song? And very often, it is so profound in its simplicity, and it sums up how you feel, or is the key and the triumph to moving further forward. It's like, you know, it is the statement of your life in that moment, and it kind of clarifies things. So that's the beauty and the gift of poetry, of song, of art, because it becomes a statement of where we are right now. And in that understanding, we free ourselves from that moment, or we immerse ourselves in that moment, depending what it is, because of it. And these are the tools in life, and we must not forget to use them. Right, Corrine?
Absolutely. You know, coming back to those first two lines, in your, you know, when you're out in the world, you know, you have to be on and take care of business. But then it's back to the poem, in your quiet moments, return to your center. This that opens the channel that has you remember. And what is it that you want to remember about yourself today? Like, that's really the question. It's that simplicity, is you're creating the space that that you're welcoming a higher remembrance. And so what is it, and you just look at one thing, what do I want to remember about myself today that will serve my life and those around me? And it's, you know, maybe the remembering is, wow, you know, I really am a pretty patient person. I'm really grateful for that quality that I embrace or I embody, right? And so now that leads us to gratitude, right? And we, on that moment, is what is it I want to remember about myself today? And then, bam, your mind plays in and it fulfills a role to help you find the answer, and you find it and you shift your vibration, and then you can ask that same question outward as you look at the world. What is it that I want to remember about you today? As you were saying, Christina, about maybe you're feeling, whoever is feeling resentment about whatever. Mm-hmm. So you now the awareness is, oh, I recognize I'm feeling a little resentful. What is it that I want to remember about you that I have temporarily forgotten? Because, you know, there's always something there that's really good. Yeah. And if we can just do that simple thing,
right,
we can shift the relationship. We can shift our relationship with ourselves and with the other.
I think there's something else here to remember. Did you hug yourself today? Did you touch yourself in a loving way? Like when somebody is in distress or somebody needs a hug, you just go and take them in your arms. They're there, I'm there for you. And we know the impact that that hug does, that exchange of beautiful energy, that envelopment of love that you're giving at that time. And we don't always have somebody around us. Your arms aren't just for everyone else. Don't forget to take yourself in your arms. Don't forget to stroke your own arms. Take your own hand to stroke your own brow and say, I am there for you. I love you. We are in this together. We forget the physical side of things and that how important touch is, even of our own body.
Sure.
Yes. And even as you're saying that, Sarah, I'm getting a lot of visions of the inner child, right? And we hear about this, the inner child this, and have you given love to your inner child? And you may call it cheesy or hokey. You know, that those are labels, that's fine, but it's true. Doesn't mean it's not true.
Truth is always simple.
Yes, that's right. So we can take our little kid by the hand and give it that stroke of the brow and actual the physical touch of one's own body. I just think that's, again, that's just something, it's very simplistic, but it's so often overlooked.
Yes.
You know this if you're a mother and if you are in charge of taking care of other people, if you have that role, that identity for yourself of caregiver, caretaker, then what often can occur is you forget yourself, your own inner child, the stroking of the brow. So maybe taking the opportunity, this show is a great springboard to take the opportunity, think of some ideas, some ways that your own touching of your own body in a loving, gentle way, you know, what that looks like for you. When was the last time you did that? And right. And what would feel appropriate and right for you? Because so, I just love that idea, too.
Yeah, and my experience with what you're both saying is, energetically, when I look at someone, and I also have experienced this myself, when you touch yourself gently, for instance, if the inside of your, you know, the inside of our arms, right, where the skin is really, really tender and sensitive, if you take your right hand and just gently stroke the inside of your arm, okay, the forearm, what it does is it takes you into your right brain. And so this is not airy-fairy stuff. This is, you know, biochemical things, right? When you take your right hand and stroke your left arm, it takes you into your right hemisphere. So now where do we do all the mental narration and commentary about, oh, this day sucks, and oh, my goodness, and, you know, we're stressed? That's very much a left brain activity. When we touch the left arm gently and kindly and compassionately, now we're activating the right hemisphere, which is the intuitive feeling part. And so that helps us then attune to our heart and attune to our intuitive and our creative side. So that little ritual of touching the inside of your arm can activate this whole thing of creating a shift.
Right. I'm doing it right now. Are you doing that with me, Sarah, too?
Yeah, I've actually got my pendulum in my hand. It's just going nuts with all of you guys.
Yes. You know, we're all about the simple little things.
Yeah, but you know, people stand like that, right? You know, I very often stand with, like, the thumbs underneath my forearms with my fingers over the top and giving myself a hug. So I'm kind of touching both sides of there. And we don't realize that our body already does these things. And it knows what it needs, and we've got to pay attention to that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. She says this to people both in her live events and private sessions, in our retreats. It's a big one. It just keeps repeating itself too, that we're in this body for a time. We have this vehicle, and this is the shell. Mm-hmm. And so while you're here doing the dance and life is moving through you, this body, it stays with you until you eject from the body. So while you're here, there's wonderful tools that we have all over. I mean, find a hands-on healing modality or even an energy healer of any kind, and you're going to experience a more blissful body. And I think when we give that to ourselves, we're going to think better. I mean, we're going to be in a higher vibration. Our thoughts, the activity of thinking, is going to improve just naturally, just by our bodies feeling well.
Mm. There's something I want to touch on, though. What I've learned through the years is that a lot of people are afraid of the touch because it rouses up in them a sense of sensuality. And they think, oh God, I must be a pervert. I'm being turned on by this massage. You know, and no, that is a natural response because our body is a sensual being. It's tapped in, you're tuning into your senses. And when you touch and massage or energetic, you're releasing those senses. And it's quite natural for them to feel a sensuality or turn anyone sexually. That doesn't mean anything. It's just your body being tuned in and responding, right? You're not going to jump anyone's bones, and you know, it's just like allow the feeling and enjoy it because it's quite natural.
Yeah, I think thinking of it as just a simple way to relax, you know, back to the ritual, Christine, is we need to, you know, even if you have carry a soft stone, a river stone with soft edges, you know, in your pocket, where you remember that that stone is soft and smooth because it's been, you know, roughed up.
It's been through life.
It's been through life, and all those hard edges have been brushed away. And so even just a soft, simple stone, it feels nice in the hand. You know, again, that brings in the physical touch. But it's like, oh, wow. You know, how is it that I can allow my edges to kind of dissolve away today. You know, these simple little things.
I'm
that
holding
has
a rose quartz right now, the smoothed edges. It's a pendulum. And, you know, I find myself stroking it. And no, it's not purring, but it's, you know, it's just, it gives you a sense of connection, right? It's it's that touch that kind of is a reassurance. And you know, I think a lot of the time people, oh, God, that's too embarrassing. What if people caught me with that? What if they do? How about you share with them what it does for you? Because, you know, if you're embarrassed about it, then they're going to think it's weird. If you say, just doing this releases my stress, they're going to go, how do I get one? So don't be afraid to share your experiences.
Yes, I love that sharing energy. You have such great sharing energy and networking energy with people, Sarah. Of course, anyone who listens to your shows is going to know that naturally about you. I agree completely, wholeheartedly. If you find that having, you know, watching someone blow bubbles for their children and you find yourself reaching out to grab one of those bubbles, I think the embarrassment energy, first of all, comes from someone else's conditioned pattern of thinking, perhaps your parents or, you know, people you grew up with or how you grew up, the environment you were in. But I think if we can bring conscious awareness to the embarrassment, just feel that energy for a moment. Just catch yourself in the embarrassment energy for a moment and be like, oh, I feel, oh. And like really allow that for yourself for a moment. And then I think it is great if you can find it in your heart space to share how the bubbles make you feel, like, or touching the cat or holding the rose quartz, you know, and just be authentic to yourself in that moment. You're taking a dare on yourself, and you're sharing, and it's like, that is my true authentic self. I think as long as we are doing that and then mindful of any kind of embarrassment energy that rises up, that, again, that's another pattern that will dissolve on its own. And I think you'll have just, life will just provide you more opportunities to enjoy those things and to share with others. So it's kind of in my opinion, my experience is that it's a domino effect. These things, these opportunities just, you know, they multiply as we are willing.
I just want to share a little story there about, I'm on the steps, the Sacré-Cœur steps in Paris with a friend, and some guy came along and just started playing kind of the drums. And I was such a free spirit back then, and I just got up and I started dancing. And all of a sudden, there are people around clapping, and then people started singing, and I'm just dancing. And there must have ended up being 20, 30 people around. And somebody asked my name, and she told them it, and then now they're chanting my name. And people are singing, people are playing instruments, people are clapping, and I'm just dancing in a frenzy to it. And then we all got up and started walking towards the Ramamat, and we're all singing, and we're all dancing, and then people just dissipated and went their way. It was truly one of those beautiful, magical moments that you could not craft. It just was in that moment of knowingness. And, you know, my simple getting up there and dancing to one drum, you know, 30 people are caught in that beautiful energy. And it was a very euphoric moment for everyone and a very authentic, natural one. But where do we do that now? You know, we're so self-conscious. And it's like, you know, could I do that? And I'm hoping that kind of spirit comes back in me. But we've become so self-conscious of things that, you know, we don't want to embarrass ourselves or what will people think of us. And we've really got to stop worrying about that. What do people think of me?
Back to that suffering suit, right, Corinne?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
So you find, like, this is a suit. This is a whole get-up right here is, what will people think of me? There's that suit right there. Like, I mean, that could be literally, you could have a hat and shoes and socks for all of that energy. Mm-hmm. And stay in that for, you know, years and decades. And Sarah, I applaud you for sharing that. I literally, as you were painting that for us, I was there. I could feel it. And the singing and the freedom and the joy and the smiles. And that's just piercing through any kind of energy that might be holding or blocking anyone, that just pierces through all that. And it's so done in the moment. Again, back to Eckhart Tolle, it's in the moment. Mm-hmm. And there's so much joy there. Let's think to our listeners, how many opportunities have you passed up?
Yes.
Where you could have sung your song or danced your dance. Not to feel bad about it, but I'm pointing it out so that you think about in the future, if something comes up like that, you know, are you going to just go ahead and be your authentic free spirit yourself and embrace that moment and dance your dance?
It's 42 years ago, and I still remember it like I was there yesterday or today.
Wow.
And I'm with you on that. I was right there with you, dancing that dance and on that street. Yeah. And it just so speaks of the magic of art and the absolute wonder and beauty of it to bring us together. And then to have that one person to be like that you were, to be fearless and to not give a crap about what anybody else thought or how you looked or what anybody, any commentary that might be said. And the fearlessness, you know, we can look completely goofy.
Yes.
But when you bring
in that
know, that authenticness that we talked about at the top of the conversation, when we are authentically all in, it doesn't matter.
No.
People go, I want more of that.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And then it just goes and goes and goes. And so now this the beginning seed of the art, the music, tapped your heart, tapped your fearlessness. You got up authentically. And now that was completely contagious. And oh, my goodness, imagine us doing this in the world. And so we come back to what is it I want to remember about myself today?
Yeah.
That I am fearless. I am playful. And I will never apologize or curb my enthusiasm. Like, that is my commitment to myself today, right? And my goodness, if all of us did that today in one way, imagine.
You know, just before, I know Christine wants to jump in, but just before we go on to that, you know, I realize I'm not that same person today, and I feel I've denied myself by not being that person because I started worrying too much about what other people thought. And, you know, one of the things you've got to think about, and this is a lesson I've had to learn myself, is go and do anyway. Those that want to dance with you will. Those that aren't ready for the dance won't.
And it's all perfect because everybody has their timing, right? Everybody has their day in that moment when they're ready to step out on the street and dance fearlessly and, you know, emotionally naked, right? And vulnerable.
Yes.
Oh, emotionally
naked,
vulnerable. Love it.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah, and that is the feeling we do get when sometimes we have emotion of being naked. But to truly be authentic, you have to be vulnerable. Because that is where love lies, in your vulnerability. And that's where your safety lies. That's where everything lies. And if you're not vulnerable, then you're not experiencing.
And what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
I mean, really, the mind makes up all this. They may say something. Really? So what's the absolute worst thing that could happen if you get up and do something silly? And really, I mean, when you break it down like that, it seems kind of silly to ever hold back.
But, you know, today they're going to put it up on Facebook or Twitter or somewhere else like that, and there'll be all sorts of comments. But you will find most of the comments are, oh, I wish I could do that, or I really enjoyed that. And the other comments are, you know, the idiot or this or that, again, are those of people who aren't ready to dance. So don't get caught up in their negative comments. Celebrate the people that celebrate it with you, right? Own it. Own it.
Oh, I think people are hungry for that because everybody is starving for that, to remember that part of themselves as well. And so when they see someone else do it, I think today, really, you know, there's always a negative naysayer, right? Always. But, you know, that's a given. More people will be served, I think, when we commit to being fearless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Truly. And back to the contagion, fearlessness breeding more fearlessness, just the release of one individual, others that are partaking in that experience are moved by their own right to exercise that same fearlessness, that same just like, I don't give a crap. I'm going to just be my authentic self in whatever I'm doing. I'm going to be vulnerable and allow life to shine through me. I just believe that it just takes one individual to, or even the thought of it, the thought energy could be there. You could go out and say, I'm going to be fearless in this. I'm going to be vulnerable today. And you've got that thought energy placed. Thought energy is is powerful. I mean, it can be, you know, literally like the sun coming through the magnifying glass and starting a fire. You can really use that to create awesome things in your life.
Well, thoughts become things, right? I mean, you know, what we think is what we feed. So choose very carefully what you decide to feed.
Yes, yes.
And the thought energy is the steering mechanism. Mm. And then when we merge that, if you think of a car, you know, the thought is the steering mechanism. And then the heart, the wholeheartedness, that commitment to it is the heart energy, which is the fuel. And then, wow, when you have the steering and the fuel, you can really do something and take action. Mm-hmm. If you just have the thought and you don't really have the heart behind it,
Where are you going?
It may not really, you know, come into fruition. And so I think to be mindful of, oh, I have this great idea, and then to really connect with how all in my heart am I about this? And then, you know, you can measure it 0 to 10 if you want to get really practical. And then it's like a 5. Why is it only a 5? I'm afraid of being rejected. What if I wasn't afraid, right? And then just this little bit of commentary and it's self-inquiry can take that thought and merge it with heart energy, the fuel, and then pow, you know, we can really, really put it into life.
Yes. Feel that pow. Yeah. You can feel that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's looking at fear and saying, sorry, you're just not welcome here anymore. You may have my back when I'm crossing a road or when there's danger in my vicinity. I respect and welcome you for that. But I'm sorry, you cannot move in and stifle my life because then you are stealing my life. And we have to look at fear as a necessity when it's necessary, but not somebody that's moved in and sleeping on your couch and won't go.
If we need to use, in my opinion, my experience with the fear, which, by the way, Corinne, Sarah, I feel like fear is a show in its own right that needs to be addressed and very lovingly with a lot of tender compassion, but that we do need to learn how to build some mental constructs around fear and then eventually move away from mental constructs altogether so that we just feel, oh, fear energy. Okay, here's fear energy right here. And then be able to transmute that, work with that, have the inner commentary, drop out of inner commentary altogether and come into, as Corinne says, into our center. Because it really is stuff in the head. It's head stuff. It's and the fear is, how many times can we, I mean, fear has gotten in the way of doing this or that or living our life the way that we want it, or I mean, everyone,
we want to be assured.
That's
everybody's looking for an assurance, and there is no assurance in life. The only assurance, if you step into love, you will be guided. And, you know, stuff is going to happen in the world that we're going to go for a few more years of all the shake-up going on. But one thing we can be assured is that if we step into love and we step into a loving community and be there for each other, we will get through this and we will become a thriving community because of it. So it is an invitation for us to step into love.
Oh, I feel invited. And Corinne, do you feel invited into that as well?
Yeah, for sure. And I think what you were saying about, you know, having a whole show on really dealing with fear, because it's so prevalent.
Yes.
I mean, the fear is everywhere. It's in our media. It's in our, you know, globally. I mean, not just
it's in our DNA.
Any one country, but in our DNA, for the fear, you know, for survival. And so fear is such a massive energy. And we're so beat up already. What you were saying about being gentle with it is so key, because, you know, if you're wounded, the last thing you need is, you know, necessarily, you know, tough love when you're already feeling beat down. And so it's just one step at a time. Whatever construct works for you, go for that.
Right.
If it's a, you know, a 5-minute walk out in nature, something just to soften the fear and help it relax. Really, that's what it's our nervous system is just so bound up, it's so wound tight. We have to find these little things to help it just, you know.
Like the warm bath, you know.
Yeah, warm bath.
I mean, the warm water is so soothing and so calming. And we also know it's a conduit. And so, you know, a warm bath, you know, something that just wraps itself around you. Again, even wrapping a blanket around you of love and your arms around you, touching the inner arms, stroking our brow. We've got to remember all of these little things are all tools to kind of release that fear. They're there. You're safe. You know, you can let the fear go. We can let the anxiety or the trauma go. It doesn't mean you're going to forget. It just means you're not going to have that immediate, you know, that pain of that memory all the time. You're going to be able to see it without having to feel it all the time. That, I think, is one of the common denominators of fear, isn't it? Is the feeling of the fear rather than the fear, what it really represents.
Mm. And it's that recognition that if you can be aware of that fear, where you say, oh, I'm fearing rejection, let's say. Then noticing, well, who's asking that question?
Right.
You know, you know, if you're seeing it, you're not it, right?
Right.
You know, you can look at your hand, you know, you're not your hand, you know, that's part of that. And so then it really does help us tap into, we go into our center, and then we can really connect with the observer of our fears. And then when the observer is present, then it can start to dissolve, because the highest version of ourselves says to the mind, dear one, what do you need right now?
Yeah.
What do you need, sweetheart? I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, you know, one simple thing. And the feel, the relaxation and the softening of the whole being when we really welcome that highest part of ourselves to come in and just attend to the fear with love and compassion and presence.
Taking that breath, taking that moment. You know, I mean, Christina, you do it naturally. You take a lot of deep breaths, and it reminds us to pause. To pause, take it in, allow it, you know, to penetrate within and to see it for what it is. And we're so busy being busy that we don't take those pauses, we don't go back to center, we don't take that breath and just absorb what is going on right now. Address it in its moment, because if you don't, you're going to be carrying that backpack along with you, and it's going to get heavier and heavier. So take that breath.
Now, not to get cerebral here, but I just want to say again, I'm really honored to be sharing that little slither of silent space. And it's not just silence, it's presence. It's being very alert, breathing. And we're doing it on the radio. That's where we as a consciousness, that's where we're going. We're actually taking these moments on the air to breathe in silence. Wow. I just know in my own practice, I've worked with Athela now going on, gosh, we've been doing this since 2015. Even before that, I was coaching and in my hypnosis practice. I've seen this work so much, I can say it unequivocally. Give it 3 conscious breaths.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And I've seen a lot in my young life. So I can say, if we give it, and I don't mean breathing and then your thoughts jet off, because that happens. I mean really getting focused and just coming center, as Corrine says, center. I love that word, center.
As it happens sometimes, the power of love and the power of energy can interrupt the internet. And we just had a drop and we lost Christina for a moment, but we have her back and we're back in the presence of love and energy and in breath. So, Christina, if you'd like to continue.
Yes. And in that moment, in that break, I noticed a shift in my own energy, kind of looking at computer, kind of scrambling, like, oh, what happened here? But then I took a moment to breathe, and I remember what I had just spoken just a few minutes ago about 3 conscious breaths, and I actually practiced that. So that's a good testament to myself, you know, practicing coming back to the breath, which we can do at any time. So we were talking about fear energy and creating that spaciousness around, and it could be something else, some other energy that is coming up in your field of consciousness, and that we can come back to the breath. And I'm talking like big bellied breaths. The lower region, just filling up the whole lower part of you. And how it's just really volumizing and tapping into the center, returning to center. There's no quicker way than to come back to our breathing, in my experience. So I want to thank you all for breathing in with me and for taking this pause. And in a few moments, I think Othello will want to float in. But meanwhile, I'd love to ask Corinne if in her, of course, she's just this gifted artist and has so many rich talents that she shared with us. And Corinne, what is your ritual or your routine when you feel kind of like life out of balance or something coming into your radar that's just like, how do you find the center in your busy day?
Well, I think what we just experienced is really speaks to that, and that's the power of the pause. Mm-hmm. And when we're so busy and life is so hectic and going and doing, it's kind of like we have a fear of the pause. Like we may miss something or, I just can't be idle or, you know, we have all kinds of mental beliefs and commentary about pausing and doing the art of doing nothing for even for a few minutes. And so I was looking at this. I think you were talking about taking the pause with the breaths. And I'm thinking, let's really look at this as powerful, the power of the pause as a simple ritual that giving ourselves permission. Hey, it's fine to take 5 or 10 minutes to do nothing. You know, sit and stare at the wall, whatever, right? And so there's a lot to that because it has you recenter and regroup and come back to the space that has you remember. What is it that you want to remember right now? The most important thing.
Genuine and pure connectedness feels like water, crisp and looking down, unobscured. If it is useful, you can see yourself standing under waterfall. Close the eyes. Let the cascade of water bead on the skin and drip. Many humans utilize sounds, auditory sounds of water, rain droplets, ocean, the sound of waterfall, to ignite the picture and to be there in the mind body, to be more like the quality of water. Human bodies, human spirit is water, in fact. Do not overthink this. Just be like water. When life ebbs and flows, come to this clear, crisp water. When you are well versed with this, as you advance, you will do away with the need for images, and you can simply tune in to the quality of water and stay for those few moments.
Give yourself the gift of being like water. And remember, humans, water eddies, water flows. Water has no problems. Love you, great women.
Thank you both. Thank you, Othello. I'm so appreciative of this time that we've shared together. Thank you both.
Oh, thank you very much. And, you know, talking about the flow of life, it's our very bodies, as Othello says, we're made of water. The air has to flow. Everything about us has to flow. We can't be center until we flow back to the center, until we're in our presence, until we're in our breath. And the fluidity of life must not have these restraints, must not have these blockages, because that's when we run into trouble. And the more that we have those blockages, the more that they become, you know, part of the disease of life. So the flow of life is extremely important. And we find that in breath, we find that in water, and we find that in everything else we do in life.
Mm-hmm. And remember Dr. Modo in his experiments with water, and how what a incredibly influential medium it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we were talking about fear and our thoughts and what are we putting into our water of our being with our inner commentary. And she was speaking of purifying the water. And so that's a great place for us to look in the space, is how can I purify the water of my being? And very, very simply.
Even holding a glass of water before you drink it, being mindful to give it a positive energy. You know, gratitude for this water. This water is love. It is substance that keeps me going. You know, another show, of course, is all about gratitude, because when we step into gratitude, we actually then actually understand where fear's place is, and it doesn't belong with gratitude, it doesn't belong with love. So there are so many things that are our daily solutions, that are our momentary solutions. And one of, I think, the key things we've learned here today in Ascension to Love is to be present, to take a pause, to take a breath, to find a way to nurture ourselves, to take that jacket of life off, you know, even if it's one sleeve at a time, one pocket at a time as you dismantle it. Stop being in such a hurry. Go through the process and be conscious of process, because the tools and the knowledge you'll learn through that is what you will take forward with you in every aspect of your life. So really important to do so. So ladies, I'm going to have a little closing from both of you. So Corinne, would you like to send us off with some of your wonderful pearly wisdom?
I was so in the moment. I'm just kind of drifting down that river of water. And, you know, it's really kind of tying it all together and adding to what you say, is if we allow ourselves to just flow in that stream of the essence of it, that we experience it as physical water here in our human journey, but also to feel the essence of it energetically as wisdom and guidance, as flow into our body, and really allow that flow to enter us fully, and with a simple, loving, benevolent command. I want to know what it feels like to be fluid, to be free, to be fearless, to be creative, you know, all of it, to be compassionate with myself and others. You know, that's a flow and that's a stream. And that's really just that heartful wish to experience that in our daily life. That purifies our water. It purifies our mind. And that's just what came to me.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I celebrate you and the energy that shines through and comes up through your voice, Corinne. And Sarah, what you had, I just feel like you have this channeling style that's all your own. What you had shared with us just prior is channeling. That's I recognize that as channeling, and I know your channels very well now that we've done so many of these shows. I just marvel really at other human beings and how they're able to channel in their own sacred way. Mm-hmm. So thank you both for that. And I would like to close with an image of a woman who, she was not partaking in our retreats, but we used her as an example, a living example, for several of my retreat participants. They come to this specific retreat here in the Yucatan because they have fear of the water. Interesting, isn't it? So we're here we are in the beach, and part of our retreat is to not necessarily conquer fear. I don't want to say that. It's more like allowing fear to rise up. You go and you grab your surfboard and let's ride the wave. Because that's, in my opinion, that's a very different energy than trying to fight fear or conquer fear. And so I'd like to end with an image of a woman who I was working with, one of our retreat participants, and her whole pain body was coming up, you know, with fear as we were entering into the water, and the waves are quite high here. So we were gently just standing, just getting our toes wet, hadn't really even started our meditation practice, our conscious movement, and there was this woman, maybe 20-something, in the water, deep in the waves, and like a tortoise or a dolphin, she literally threw her hands up and she let the wave come over her and she relaxed. It was like watching a mermaid or something. I was really taken aback by this this movement, this graceful surrender. And the waves being as high as they are, I thought, gosh, I wonder if fear is creeping into this woman's, you know, body at all, her mind or anything. No, she was completely relaxed. And so we used that as an example. And this client, by the way, no longer has fear of water. This client now, she swims, in fact, and she's really, really come so far. But this was a vision that I received as Corinne was just talking about, letting the flow and making that wish of adapting the quality of water, putting that in our breath and our mind, in our intention to embrace this quality, and to drink it, of course, to use that that chance to give gratitude and to adopt, to be more like water, as Othello says. So I wanted to end with that vision, that we can simply surrender, we can be in the flow. And that is a choice, and yeah. I hope my true wish for everyone listening in on this is that you've already begun your journey. I mean, listening to this show today is just, it's another reminder. As Corinne says, you know, what do we want to remember today? I hope for everyone listening is that they're taking this in and reminding themselves, reminding of your true nature, of who you can be and who you are truly, and that this will create any healing that is needed for this person's path. Anyone listening, you're on the path already. You are the energy of love, and I'm so grateful again. Thank you so much, Sarah and Corinne, for being my reminder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, just as water is fluid and can set you free, don't forget the wind. It's a beautiful thing how it blows away all that troubles you, how it lifts you up, how it propels you forward. And, you know, a gentle breeze, a kiss on the brow, or literally a wind that lifts your wings up and helps sets you flying. It's nature, and that's another show, the elements mm-hmm. of nature and how they serve us. So you've got a lot more shows to come here, folks. folks, and just, you know, channeling ascension is all about that. It's all about how do we ascend into our beautiful divineness and into love. So Corinne's site, by the way, I have another show here with Corinne here. Please just put in her name in the search engine and you'll see the other show that we did together on attunement to love. And her website is www.attunetolove.com. That's www.attunetolove.com. And Christina, yours is
Athela.org. So it's the name of my spiritual guide, my CEO, and just a tremendous being in my life is Athela. And so it's Athela, athela.org.
Right. And, you know, folks, please share this show. You know, when we share and we start a conversation, we start diffusing the fear, we start diffusing the embarrassment, or, you know, I would love to get up and dance, or I'd love to do this, I'd love to do that. And then it becomes a question when you're together, why not? Let's do it. So finding that strength, that courage comes when we share the knowledge. So listen to the show, get a few friends together, glass of wine, kick back and listen to it and enjoy it. And kind of, what are you going to do to set yourself free and descend to love? And remember, it's all in the action. It's all in the breath. It's all in the intention. And you too can do it. So thank you so much, Corinne and Christine and Athela, for being with us here today.
Thank you both so much. It's been so fun playing with you and these spiritual energies. What a delight. Thank you so much.
Yeah, all these wonderful, good vibrations, folks. So we'll have another surprise for you on Channeling Ascensions next week. And, we're taking flight. Let's just hope the internet can keep up with us. And
I was just going to say, for our next show, tune in for our next cosmic, explosion.
Cosmic experience.
Internet wave.
Yeah, that's right. And it just proves that the universal energy is a lot stronger than our internet connection. So, we ourselves are stronger than that connection too. So when we step into that vibration, boy, can we fly. So,
so true. Oh, yeah.
So thank you, ladies. It's been, again, a wonderful delight.
Thank you for the adventure. Thank you, Corinne. Thank you, Sarah. And thank you, Athela. I'm just a humbled participant. I feel really humbled and honored today. Thank you.
So grateful.
Well, folks, remember, it's all within you, and don't be afraid to take those steps of your journey of life, because I promise you, you too can ascend into love and transcend your life. Bye for now. Until next time.